and this is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The program is your connection to local music. And the local performers we're going to be talking about on today's show are, first, Hathaways, who are a brother and sister duo, who will open the first of the three concerts this summer outside at the Research Park on the University of Illinois campus, co-sponsored by Fox Atkins Group and the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. That's tonight. 7:30 is when the main act, Funkadacy, performs, and the opening act are Hathaways. They start at 6:30. They'll be my guests in the first part of the show, and we'll hear a couple of their songs as well. And then on the latter portion of the show, a young man who is 15 now, I believe, who currently lives in Evanston but grew up in Springfield and spent the first 14 years of his life there, is named Clayton Penrose Whitmore. And he was a winner of the 2008 Sphinx competition, which we will hear about in our conversation. But he's also going to be appearing on NPR's show From the Top, which airs on this radio station on Saturday and Sunday. So you can hear him this weekend, and we'll talk with him a bit from a workshop that he's attending in New Hampshire. Talked with him just yesterday, and we'll hear from him in the later portion of today's show. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. My guests today on FM 90.9's Live and Local are Hathaways, which is a brother-sister folk duo. I guess folk is the best term. We'll find out in just a moment. Kate is the elder. James is the younger. And they came together by a bit of a surprise, as it turns out, at least a surprise to Kate, that her brother actually knew a bunch of her songs and could play the guitar. And so let's start with that topic, because that's sort of an interesting, I would think that would be an interesting discovery for you to have, Kate, that you didn't even know he was doing it, apparently?
Well, I knew that he'd started playing a little bit, but I had no idea to the extent that he could play, because I'd been gone for a while. Music was my passion. I took off from the university here, and I was just touring, and so it was amazing, but very shocking. My brother came to visit me, and he, you know, slowly picked up my guitar after I'd been playing it for who knows how long. Mm-hmm. And he just slowly started playing my songs, and he could sing them. And that's a huge shock, because when you first start playing, it's very difficult to sing. And he was 14. I think he had just turned 14 years old. Is that right?
Yeah, give or take, I don't know.
He was 14. He could play all these songs that I had on a CD, and he could sing them. And I thought, what am I doing in the desert? I need to go back home, and I need to start playing with family.
So where in the desert were you actually, at that point, you were where?
I was, when James came to visit me, I was in Tempe.
And you were staying there for a while?
I was there for several months. I had been touring for a while, and I stopped in Tempe for a while, and I stopped in San Francisco, and I was in Austin for a short time, too.
Well, we're going to come back to this James thing, but I want to ask you about this tour. How long were you, you were touring basically as a solo singer-songwriter with guitar in hand, right?
Yep. That's all I had. I had my car, my guitar, and that was about it. Bag of clothes. And so I toured as I could. I went on the road, and then if I didn't have something after a couple months, I kind of would go stay put somewhere. I chose San Francisco for a while because our older brother lives there. And but it was great. It was a really good experience. And I went back to school after I did it for about a year and a half and returned to Champaign, started playing with James. He started having, I think, my mom drive him from Rossville to practice.
So it took some guts, though, to go out on tour. For anybody, what decided you that you had something to offer that other people would want? And then what gave you the guts to say, okay, I'm going to go try this?
I guess it's just my family and friends and people who had so much faith, and then friends who were just spread out all over the U.S. who were telling me, come play here. We'll book you a show. People will love it. You'll sell CDs. And it was just a lot of support, I think, from my family. I mean, my parents weren't thrilled that I was taking off school, but they also were very supportive and said, go for it. See what happens. Go have fun.
So you were in the middle of the degree program at the University of Illinois when you took off to do that?
Yes, I was. I had gone for 2 years.
And is your, you mentioned an elder brother, is he also musical?
He is. He plays guitar, but he doesn't really play out. I don't know if he really writes anymore. He used to when we were younger. We used to play a lot together.
But he's off doing something else at this
point.
He's
off, yeah. Not musically anymore.
So this discovery of James, let me ask, James, were you, you must like your sister's songs.
Yeah, I was always the biggest fan, in my opinion.
And did she know that?
Yeah, well, I guess she didn't know. I always just was listening to her music from the time she started. So I was probably about 8 years old, listening to her pick up the guitar and just watching her. And I don't know, it really sparked an interest in me. And I think I really liked her CDs. I thought they were awesome. And I also thought it'd be funny if I came out and kind of showed her up a little bit.
I was going to say, he really likes my songs. You should hear him now playing them for me.
How
I think he just likes heckling me.
Yeah.
I think that was his main reason to learn guitar.
just to see if he could go one better or something?
Yeah, or play my song and make new lyrics to it so it'd be embarrassing and be a little brother.
I mock you a little bit sometimes
around
the family.
Well, it's what little brothers are supposed to do.
Yeah, I think we keep that intact.
But I mean, just the fact though, it's interesting to me, it's sort of not normal in the usual sibling relationship that you would obviously admire what she's doing so well.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I think it was really easy. We all listened to the same music. And that, I don't know, we all just had the same influences. Our parents made us listen to The Doors and Hendrix and all that stuff. And so we were always into, you know, oldies. And we just have always gotten along really well for siblings. And the music, even, it just brought us closer.
And at what point did you start writing your own stuff?
I think as soon as I started learning her stuff, I really wanted to write my own. And I always wrote poetry when I was younger, so I don't know. I just kind of took some of the poems I had written and then tried playing some G chords and C chords and making up a song. And that's where it all started, pretty much.
So, Kate, it sounds like you've had formal training in music.
I've had a little bit, yeah. I had lessons on guitar when I first started. And my new instrument, definitely, I've been training with Tom Torino, who's an ethnomusicology professor at the University of Illinois. And that's probably the most training that I've had. He's been a great friend and a great mentor.
Well, we will get to your new instrument because that's an interesting topic on its own. James, it sounds like you're probably pretty much self-taught. Exclusively.
I think I tried taking one lesson back in junior high. Didn't work out.
It didn't work out. So you're, in a way, your teacher is your sister off of her CDs and all the other folks you've listened to.
Yeah, I do it by ear and by just heart.
Well, I've said this many times on this show before that you're the sort of people that I always admire being able to do that because I'm somebody who can read the notes. And that's, I'm stuck to the notes. And sometimes I find that a little frustrating. So I admire folks who can do much more than that. Let's talk a little bit before we hear first of a couple of selections. We'll hear from your EP. This was a term, by the way, I just had to look up.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it a number of times. I really didn't know what an EP was.
Extended play.
Yeah, for those others who don't know, extended play as opposed to what?
Full length.
It's almost like a demo, but it's a little longer.
So in your case, you've got five songs on Hathaway's Hand Me Down, the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the country of Peru had a lot to do with this and with this other instrument you talked about. You went to Peru last year for an extended stay. What prompted that?
Well, I had taken off time from the university, and after James and I had met up and decided we wanted to play together, I came back to the university and randomly just chose an Andean ensemble class to take. And that's where I met Tom Torino, and he asked me, what do you play? And I said, I play guitar. And he said, okay, great. And he put a charango in my hands. He said, okay, this is what you'll play. You guys will play quenas, and you'll be on guitar. And so I slowly started picking up this new instrument, and it's a 10-string, very small instrument from the Andes. And so I just started playing this instrument, and it was really cool because James and I were playing together, but we were both playing guitar. We were both singing, both playing guitar, trying to figure out, are we going to play a lead part or the rhythm, or how are we going to keep it interesting? And once I started playing this instrument, James said, hey, play your charango on this. And I was like, I don't even know how to play this thing. And so I started writing charango parts for our songs immediately, and they have just developed in a really interesting way. It has me a lot more interested writing with James now that we have like this new instrument to work with.
So you were in Peru for...
I took the course for about a year. I took it with Tom Torino, and then I went to Peru for a summer course. So it was a month and a half of studying music in the mountains. So it involved recording the music and photography and video. And so we just traveled each week to a little town in the highlands. And then I stayed, I stayed an extra month and a half after that. And it was great. I joined, actually, my third day in Peru, I joined a Peruvian group. And they took me on tour with them for a week before I started school. And it was great because they were showing me all these songs. And I was thinking, this is great. I already know these songs. I've already learned these in my ensemble. So it was really easy to just catch on and jump in the car with them.
So how did they manage to just pick you up into their group? They must have been impressed by something.
Well, they were playing in the plaza in Cusco, and they saw I had a charango on my back, and they asked me about it, and they said, come join our group, you know, at least come listen, and I did, and they started playing songs, and I knew them, and they said, play, you know, if you want to play with us, and I knew how to play most of them, and they were shocked. Here's this little white girl coming and playing. I didn't meet many females who actually played instruments while I was there. So I think that was kind of, I think that's what intrigued them.
So it was mostly a male thing to play music at all for there?
It's more common for the females to sing and dance, and the men normally play. So
I wasn't aware of that. So now we have the male-female combination, which we are about to hear. We're talking with, as they call themselves, Hathaways. We are talking with two Hathaways, Kate and James, who are going to be the warm-up act, the opening act, for a group from Chicago called Funkadaisy, performing tonight at the Research Park on the University of Illinois campus. At 6:30 is when they start to play, and then Funkadaisy is at 7:30. And they brought with them today their EP called Hand Me Down, which has five tunes on it. Which one would you think we ought to start with for today?
Yeah. Why don't we start with Pusher?
And what would you say about that by way of introduction?
I feel like it's a song James and I entirely wrote this song together, and it's kind of rare for us because sometimes one person writes the melody and then someone will add in a part or vice versa. But this song, yeah, we are sitting together and we just wrote every bit of it together. Yeah. So I thought it'd be...
Yeah, it was a very good collaborative effort, and we went line by line for like each part of it. It was just really cool.
Yeah.
It's called Pusher.
Pusher.
By Hathaways on their EP Hand Me Down here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
You can't stop the pain. Too many years have gone. I don't know my name. I don't know where to go. I've been here before. Guess it goes to show nothing you do to me gives me anything I would wanna see.
Song called Pusher, performed by the group Hathaways, who are with me in the studio right now. It's from their EP called Hand Me Down. And for those like myself who didn't know what EP means until just earlier today, it's extended play. It's a demo CD, really. But you can play it over and over if you want. And you can buy it even by going to their website, which is on MySpace, right?
That's the better one.
Okay, so be MySpace.
.com. / Hathaway's Music.
Hathaway's Music. And we're glad they could come on to Live and Local today. And they came on because tonight at 6:30, they're going to be performing at the University of Illinois Research Park. It's part of a three-concert series sponsored by the Krannert Center and Fox Atkins Group. They're the opening act for the band from Chicago called Funkadaisy, who in turn play, as they describe it in their publicity, an eclectic stew of East Indian raga, a bit of reggae, Afro-Caribbean rhythms, and contemporary grooves, which sounds interesting to say the very least. So Hathaway's tonight at 6:30 and Funkadaisy tonight at 7:30 at the Research Park. I'll give you an address towards the end. No tickets are required. It's free. Which is pretty amazing. So great song, and you guys do have this wonderful synergy together. You said before we heard that music just now that you went line by line and wrote that song. Where do you get your lyrics? Where do they come from, if you can even say?
Well, I don't know. To put it short.
That's the end of this interview then.
We just grew up in a small town, and I think all of our surroundings really help. Just, you know, we'd go and hang out in the woods when we were kids and just walk around, and we kind of get ideas that way. You know, you kind of get an idea of where you are and how you feel, and that kind of just sets you up to be able to write a song, I feel like.
So do you run around the woods like Beethoven was supposed to have done with a notepad, and things come to you and you jot them down?
Well,
James always has a notepad on him.
Really?
Yeah, we were in Peru, and I'd be like, what are you doing? Let's go. And I'll see him with his little book, and he'll see something, he'll start writing. And
so that's exactly what happens, in other words. Yeah. You're just like Beethoven.
For me, that's really how it works, and I write music all the time. I feel like if I'm not, then I'm wasting time sometimes.
Do you have, Kate, a similar method, or how do you go about it?
I'm not really sure. I think if I have anything really important to me that happens, a lot of the time I'll be like influenced to write something. And a lot of the times when I was younger, I used to go out, and whenever I'd see live music, I just couldn't sit still. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go play guitar. I wanted to go write something. And so that's how it started. And now that I've been playing with James, it's cool. I love to start playing a song I'm working on for him, because I feel like we throw ideas back and forth from each other, and that helps a song grow. And even lyric-wise, I think we've helped each other out with lyrics.
So it's fair to say that Hand Me Down is just a representation of the songs you've got together.
Definitely.
Which are about how many by now, would you guess?
How many songs do we have? How many good songs?
You can answer whichever way you want.
Probably about 15.
15, 20 songs? I think we probably have about 20 now.
So those are the good ones?
Yeah.
I think they're good.
Okay.
I like them.
So it's about time to do a full CD, in other words.
It is time.
Yeah.
We do need to do that.
And you decided to go as an early tour, if not your first tour, to the most unlikely place for normal people, but maybe not so unlikely since, Kate, you'd already been to Peru. You took the act to Peru.
It was amazing. It was really wonderful. I was talking to James. I said, hey, you're going to graduate semester early, so am I. Let's, you know, release our CD and let's go somewhere. And I said, do you want to go to Peru?
And we're not talking Peru, Illinois.
No, we are not. And James, you know, who else can I get in my band that would be like, sure, you want to go to Peru, James? Okay, let's do it. And so I started searching for tickets, and we went for a good 3 months, and it was wonderful. It was so different than the responses that I've ever received anywhere in the U.S. And they were just, the Peruvians were just really interested in what we were doing. They were interested in the charango. They were interested that Americans and North Americans were coming to their country and that we were playing. And so was really wonderful. They did a lot of publicity on us, and TV stations, radio stations wanted to talk to us. We sold out shows. And so we're trying to plan, when we finish our full length, we're trying to plan another tour back there.
Is it fair to say then that you both speak some or a decent amount of Spanish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which you did before you got there.
Yes. Kind of.
Yeah.
It's different when you're taking a class than actually being submerged in it. But yeah, I think we picked up a lot while you're there.
Yeah, for sure.
We got some of our best shows our first week there. We had booked them, and our Spanish was so bad. And it was amazing. We would just give people CDs and talk to them. They'd listen to it. And they still would book us, and we could still communicate with them. And a lot of the people that helped us get these shows were other musicians. So we couldn't communicate perfectly through language, but we could communicate through music with each other. And it was quite an experience, don't you think?
Yeah, it was awesome.
So did you have anything booked ahead, or you just went there, landed, and what?
I think we had booked 2 shows beforehand and ended up playing about 5 shows a week once we got there. So I had booked 2 shows for 3 months.
And then the rest was all just by invitation.
Yeah.
And they come and pay.
And they do.
Yeah.
We had a couple that was tip only, but most of them paid pretty well.
And so you said that was a very different response than you get in the United States. In what way? Or you described a bit what you got there, but what do you get here that is different?
I just felt like you need to put hard work into anything you do, but we went there and we had it. We had the promotion. We had people working for us. We had shows, just show offers. And in the U.S., you have to just beg someone who's booking in, you know, Chicago, or if you're touring, you just have to beg for them to listen to your CD and to please give you a chance, let alone be like, I want to play this date. And it's just, it's very hard. It's very hard work to get an actual tour.
So have you thought about going to other South American countries or other mm-hmm. countries at all?
I would love to. I would love to travel more around South America. But
that does,
we'll
I
see.
Mean, for most people, it's hardly the obvious place to start touring. Usually you think going to Europe. So it's a wonderful adventure. Mm-hmm. Do you, so far, have you, when writing songs, noticed that you tend to gravitate to certain topics?
I wouldn't say so. I think I go through a lot of different mindsets, at least, and I know we both do. We have our different personalities at some point, and it just really depends. I don't feel like any certain song's exactly about the same topic. I think it's all fairly new, and I like to keep it that way, just to be able to continue to write something new that keeps me interested as well as the people listening.
Are most of the songs that you've done joint collaborations, or are there some by James, some by Kate, and then like the one we heard earlier, a line-by-line collaboration?
You could say that. Yeah, definitely. Some of our, definitely our new songs, James has written some of them, and he's like, hey, here's a new song of mine, and I'll just try to pick up on it and add in something and add in harmonies. And I have a couple tunes too that James has done that. But I almost feel like all of the songs that we do end up being a collaboration, because James is one of the very few people who I've let really critique my music. And I know, poor thing, I've been hard on him because I'm the older sister, but definitely when he's doing songs, I'm like, well, I don't like that part. Can we do this instead? Or I don't think that line's appropriate. Can we change it to this? So I feel like we both, even if we weren't the one who was mainly writing it, we have quite a bit of say in it.
So James, do you feel like you're... what is the right word here? I don't want to say lesser half of the duo, but, you know, do you get bossed around by Kate in this process? And she's
Sometimes,
a number of years older.
I do feel like the protagonist every once in a while. No, she doesn't antagonize me too bad. But I feel like everything that she does really critique is in a good sense. It's for a purpose, and I could see that. Sometimes I don't see it as well as other times, but yeah, no. We get along really well, so if she tells me that a certain line in the song isn't doing too well or that I need to change it, I don't usually get too upset. And so we can work things out pretty well.
Well, that is a good thing, because you have, besides this gig tonight at the Research Park in Urbana, you have some others coming up. You want to mention those? Edwardsville and Champaign, even one in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we're trying to play as much as we can. So we're going to be playing in Edwardsville next weekend, next Saturday. I'm not sure of the date in Chicago. Is that August 2nd, maybe?
August,
this
7th? Is a CD release for another group.
Oh, yes, it is. So we're going to be playing at the Abbey Pub in Chicago.
It's on the 7th.
August 7th. We'll be playing Mike and Molly's Lovely Beer Garden. Fingers crossed, no rain. That'll be August 1st, and that'll be a really fun show. And I'm not sure what else we're doing. I haven't looked at our schedule.
Well, it's on your website, so you
okay.
can find it
so there
on
you
your
go.
Very own website, myspace.com/Hathaway's Music. And can we give them your email address if anybody is interested in asking you other questions?
Yeah, that'd be lovely. You can contact us at hathawaysmusic@gmail.com.
Which is an address you can find on the website anyway. So mm-hmm. this is fairly public information. Well, our guests for this part of Live and Local have been Hathaways, the brother and sister duo from Rossville, Illinois. James just finished high school.
Yeah.
And is going to be going to the University of Illinois in the fall.
Of course.
Well, not necessarily, of course. You never know. People do go elsewhere. Yeah. And Kate finished at U of I not long ago
mm-hmm.
and is on her own doing... Are you making your living as a singer-songwriter at this point or mixing it up?
I'm mixing it up. I've been doing fun jobs here and there, and we've been playing as much as we can. So I've been waitressing, and then I've also been working at our grandmother's store that's in Hoopston, Illinois. I've been helping her with her merchandise buying for the season. So,
and what is the name of that store?
That store is Flowers and Gifts by Molly Culbert.
In Hoopston?
In Hoopston, Illinois, Hoopston. Yes.
I have to say that right.
She has owned this store. Well, it's been in the family for over 100 years, but she has been the owner of it since she was, I think, 20. And so I've been helping her out while I've been home and while I haven't been in school nonstop. And
so we might as well give her a plug as long as we have the chance, and uh-huh. listeners can go check out that space, and you might meet Kate right there. And otherwise, are you still doing some solo work or pretty much devoted to the duo right now?
Right now, I've just been doing the duo. I think both of us have other songs, but mm-hmm. we haven't really been playing much live yet. But James did. James just played a show. Well, I was gone. I was gone for a week. James was like, yep, I had a show. I had a show last night. All new songs. So I'm not even sure what that was.
So he's moonlighting.
He is.
Good. Well, maybe we'll hear about that on another occasion. Mm-hmm. It's the Hathaways without the in front of it here
it's
on
okay.
Live and Local. You can hear them tonight at 6:30 outside at the Research Park on the University of Illinois campus. They're warming up for the band called Funkadaisy. And the Research Park is at 1816 South Oak Street. I said in Urbana, but it's in Champaign. For more information, go to KranertCenter.com, and you can see the complete schedule of the other upcoming concerts in that series outside at the Research Park. And let's go out with another tune from your hand-me-down EP. What shall we make that be?
I think we were thinking Wait For Me. It's the last track on our EP.
It's Hathaways here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Enjoy. Hathaway's, their song Wait For Me from the EP called Hand Me Down. They're playing tonight at 6:30 at the Research Park on South Oak Street in Champaign. They are the opening act for the band from Chicago called Funkadacy and the first of three concerts in the series outside at the Research Park, co-sponsored by Krannert Center and Fox Atkins Group. And my next guest, Clayton Penrose Whitmore, a young student now living in Evanston, formerly of Springfield, who is appearing on From the Top this weekend, a program we air on FM 90.9. You can have two opportunities to hear it tomorrow at 11 in the morning or Sunday, the rebroadcast at 6 in the evening. Support for today's broadcast on FM 90.9 comes in part from the Music Shop and Pro Sound Center, now in their new location at 27 East Market View Drive in Market View Plaza, Champaign. The Music Shop specializes in the sales and rental of band and orchestra instruments, digital keyboards, guitars, amps, and drums, along with a wide variety of sheet music. Here's a look, sort of a whirlwind look, at some of the performances this weekend you can attend in your listening area. In Bloomington, it's the musical Let's Misbehave, put on by Prairie Fire Theater. That's on the campus of Illinois Wesleyan University at Presser Hall tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. High Cross Bluegrass is performing at the Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tonight at 5:30. At the Lincoln Square Theater in Decatur tonight at 7 o'clock, it's Blend A Cappella Doo-Wop. 7 o'clock tonight. Funny Girl is at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. That is at 8 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, matinee 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock. And on Sunday, matinee at 2 o'clock. The Urbana Country Dancers with Big Blue Stem are at the Phillips Recreation Center in Urbana tonight from 8 to 11, and you're free to join them. Forever Plaid is at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield. That starts at 6 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, and brunch program begins at noon on Sunday. Singer-songwriter Denise LaGrassa is at the Park Hotel in Bloomington, across from the Bloomington Airport. That is at 6:30 this evening. There's an Elder Hostel Choral Singing Workshop final concert tonight. Oh, sorry, it's this afternoon at 2 o'clock, so a little over an hour from now, 2 o'clock, at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. The Illinois Shakespeare Festival in Normal, is presenting A Midsummer Night's Dream at 8 o'clock tonight. That's at Ewing Manor. Their performance tomorrow is of Scapin, also at 8 o'clock. And on Sunday, it's A Midsummer Night's Dream at 7:30. Cinderella Kids, presented by Class Act in Champaign. The one performance going on as we speak. The other is at 7 o'clock tonight. And I don't have more of a location than that. High School Musical on Stage is at the Virginia Theater in Champaign. That is at 8 o'clock tonight. And looking ahead to Sunday, Grassroots Revival, who we had on the show the other day, Bluegrass Group, is performing at Westside Park in Champaign. That's at 6:30 Sunday evening. And the Peoria Municipal Band playing at Glen Oak Park Sunday night at 7:30. And the Decatur Municipal Band in Fairview Park in Decatur, that is Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And that is everything I've got in the calendar. I'm sure there's more going on. Please, if you're aware of events, organizations that we should let our listeners know about on this program, write to us at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk with young violinist, he's 15 now, I believe he's 15 now, he may be 16 at this point, who won in 2008 the Sphinx competition, or an organization promoting diversity in classical music, particularly through involving African-American and Latino youth. And he also will appear on the program sponsored, distributed by National Public Radio, which we air tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock and rebroadcast Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. He'll be on the show that was recorded some time ago. And I had the chance to talk with him while he is at the Heifetz Workshop summer camp in New Hampshire. Clayton lived for most of his life in Springfield and just fairly recently moved with his parents, Tom Penrose and Michael Whitmore, to Evanston. And we had a chance to talk a bit, starting our conversation a little bit about his teacher in Springfield, violinist Georgia Hornbecker.
Georgia was great. I mean, she set up all my technique, and I mean, she helped me get through a lot of repertoire, and she gave me a lot of good guidance. And when I moved to my new teacher now, Mrs. Vamo, she complimented my previous teacher, and she was really grateful that she gave me a lot of good technique to use.
What got you started? What got you interested in violin in the first place?
Actually, my parents went to the Illinois State Fair one year, and they saw a Suzuki program playing in a concert, and then they just decided to start me on a violin when I was 4 years old.
So that was initially their choice?
Yep.
And at what point did it become your choice?
Well, I guess I always liked it. I mean, I never disliked playing, so after a while, I was just so used to it that I never really thought about not playing violin, I guess. So it was just always there, so I always did it.
Were you?
But now I love it, of course.
Did you have to, when you first started, did you have to be coerced to practice, or did you always practice pretty readily?
I think it was on and off. Like, sometimes when I didn't want to practice, my parents kind of forced me to practice. And then other times, I think I did practice on my own. But after a while, maybe like early middle school, I just practiced on my own. I didn't have to be like told to practice or anything.
And how much practicing do you do a day typically now?
Now I try to get 5 hours a day in, but usually it's a little less than 5 hours.
Yeah, I've always been curious. Students who are really dedicated to at that level, and you're in high school, as you still are, right?
This year I was homeschooled, actually, because I was gone a lot because of concerts and organizations I'm part of had things. So I was gone a lot from school. But, I mean, the year before that, I was regularly in high school.
Well, my question was going to be how you managed to get that kind of practice in and go to school and do schoolwork.
Well, that's a problem with a lot of my friends, actually. Because, I mean, a lot of my friends are in high school taking all AP classes and just ridiculous stuff. And, I mean, sometimes you just have to have a really busy day, I guess. And a lot of my friends, actually, they do high school sports and music, so they have to actually, like, stay up really late into the night doing practicing or homework or something like that.
And try to sleep sometime.
Yeah.
If possible. When did you first go on the From the Top program?
Actually, my first time was last December, late last December. And it was in Mesa, Arizona, which was really nice contrast to the cold winter in Illinois.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, that was fun.
And you've been on a second time, haven't you?
Yeah, actually, I'm at the Heifetz International Music Festival in Wolfboro, New Hampshire right now for a summer camp. And every year they have From the Top come to the camp to do a show here. And I was just on it with a chamber group about maybe 2 weeks ago.
In connection with the Heifetz camp?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you play? Do you remember what you played when you were on the first time?
Yeah, I played a piece called Devil's Dance by John Williams. And it's from the soundtrack, The Witches of Eastwick.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a fun piece.
Yeah.
And tell me about your exchanges with Chris O'Reilly, who's the host there. Did he play piano for you?
Yeah, he did, actually. He was really funny, and he was really nice. And he gave me some musical suggestions, and we just interacted really well. And he liked the piece, too, so it was cool.
The suggestion came before you actually taped the program, that you rehearsed together or as part of the program?
Yeah, we had a rehearsal the night before the program, and then we had a run-through earlier in the afternoon before the concert.
That's good. How did you end up getting on the program? What's the process for that?
Well, typically you have to send in an audition tape, and you can get an audition form from their website, I think, and just send them a tape, and then they write you back letting you know if you're accepted for the show or not. But since I won the Sphinx competition in Michigan, as a, one of the prizes for winning, you automatically get to be on the show, so that was really nice.
Well, let's talk about that, the Sphinx competition. Tell me about the what you know about the Sphinx organization.
Oh, well, the Sphinx organization is a really great organization trying to create more diversity in classical music. And every year they have a competition for young African-American and Latino string instrument students in Detroit, Michigan. And they have a junior division and a senior division winner every year. And as one of the prizes for winning, you get to go around and play a lot of concerts in different cities with different orchestras. And as part of the being in an organization, you do a lot of community outreach, like going to different schools and introducing the kids to violins and cellos and all that good stuff. And just a lot of outreach and a lot of great opportunities to play. Like, for example, this past year was the Sphinx organization's first tour, and they had a chamber orchestra of alums from the competition get together, and we toured through, I think it was 9 different cities, and we gave 9 different concerts, and we did a lot of outreach in the communities too.
So is this the organization that's taking you off to various events and making you end up being homeschooled?
Yeah, excellent.
Are you getting other performing opportunities also as a result of this?
Yeah. Besides the tour, I got to play with the Colorado Symphony, the New World Symphony of Miami, the Hartford Symphony, the Detroit Civic Orchestra, and Ypsilanti Symphony in Michigan because of the Sphinx organization. And there's other performing opportunities. And I'm in a program called the Academy program. It's at the Music Institute of Chicago. It's like it's supposed to be a college or a conservatory prep program, and they give a lot of opportunities because I'm in a chamber group there, and we applied to a competition, and we just play around the Chicago area, and it's fun.
Are you playing currently in any youth orchestras in Chicago or around there?
Yeah, I'm in the Chicago Youth Symphony, actually, and it's really fun. It's a really good orchestra. And we just actually played, the Chicago hosted the, I think it was the American or National Orchestra League Conference. And we got to play at that, which was really great.
League of American Orchestras.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
In that case, I actually saw you play.
Oh, you did?
Because I was at that concert. You played the piece of Osvaldo Golihov, right?
Yeah.
You were one of the 9 players who I think got to do that wonderful string piece.
Yeah, it was really fun.
That was you. I didn't know that.
Yep.
And did you also then play Till Eulenspiegel with him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you the concertmaster of the group?
We rotate chairs. I was the concertmaster, one of the concertmasters for first semester, but second semester during the Strauss, I was one of the principal second violins.
Principal seconds. Yeah, I thought I saw you in there. At some point, that was a wonderful performance, both of those pieces. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
And how do you like orchestra playing overall compared with, say, chamber or solo?
I love orchestra playing. I think either chamber or orchestra is my favorite. I like them a lot better than solo because, I don't know, I just like working together with other people. And I don't like being the spotlight of everything, but I just like kind of blending in and working with other people.
So what would be, if you had to say your ambition at the moment, what would you say that is right now?
Probably to be in a professional orchestra.
And do you have any particular orchestras in mind? I know I did when I was a kid.
Well, Chicago Symphony would be great, but...
Yeah, wouldn't it?
yeah. I guess I'm not totally sure yet.
Well, fortunately, you don't have to be, and you may ultimately not have a huge choice other than that you can decide where you audition. You talked about the Sphinx program and the point of the program, which is to create more diversity in the music world, really. And you, in your biography for From the Top on their website there, you describe some interesting diversity in your own family. You want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, actually. I have two white dads, a sister who's adopted from Honduras, and then I'm adopted too.
And how did that all come about?
Well, actually, one of my dads lived in Guatemala, I think, for a year or two. And while he was down there, I think a family just asked him if he could take their new coming daughter because they couldn't support her. So he agreed, and ever since then, she was my sister now.
And who came first, you or your sister?
My sister. She's 16 years older than me.
And any idea how they chose you?
I think they're just visiting Washington, D.C. for a tourist trip, and then they saw an ad in the paper for me. And then I think they inquired, and then later, a few months later, they came back, and then they met with me, and they just decided to adopt me.
I like the way you said they met with you. You were, what did you say earlier, 7 months?
Yeah. I was pretty young.
So you probably didn't have much to say about the matter.
No, not at all.
And has this been an interesting feature of your life, or has it simply been your life? I mean, particularly with maybe other people's reaction?
I mean, sometimes it's interesting. I mean, I have to explain to people. They don't really recognize who my family are or things like that. But, I mean, it's not really a big deal at all in my life. It's just kind of normal.
Well, it is your life. I was just curious that you decided to put it in your bio. What interested you enough to put it in your bio?
Oh, well, actually, From the Top people were just asking me about it because they thought it was interesting. So I just shared with them about it.
Well, I appreciate your taking a little time to talk. And
yeah, no problem.
Are there any, has Sphinx put out any recordings that you would be on?
Actually, I don't know how they did this, but if you type in Sphinx Organization on YouTube, there's this video of, I think it's Diversity Incorporated interviewing the president of Sphinx, and then it shows a little bit of the rehearsal for our Carnegie Hall concert during the tour, and then it shows like half of the concert, and I'm playing in one of the solo parts on Vivaldi Four Violin Concerto.
So maybe our listeners then can run out and look you up, and then they'll know exactly who we're talking to, if they can find you.
All right.
In there. Okay. Well, thanks very much, and have a good time at the camp there. Clayton Penrose Whitmore, formerly of Springfield, last couple of years living in Evanston, currently at a camp in New Hampshire, and the sound quality of the phone there was not so hot because apparently the. It's hard to get reception up there, and it has to stand outside to get anything. So we heard trucks and whatnot going by and a little bit of nature as well. You can hear Clayton performing on From the Top, which we air on this radio station at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's rebroadcast Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. He was performing at a program recorded at the Mesa Arts Center in Arizona. So you can hear Clayton Penrose Whitmore, who we heard in conversation yesterday. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from these business partners, Family Video Music Club of Springfield, Tepper Electric of Champaign, and Springfield Electric of Springfield. These business partners join the friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you. On Monday's program, my guest will be Stephen Fiol, who has quite a resume. Which I will, I'm looking in front of me, and it's not even, no point even going through it all right and now. He had a number of administrative and faculty positions at Millikan University, recently retired. He's directed a number of the operatic productions at the University of Illinois, and he'll bring along some favorite CDs, and we'll talk about what he's done in music and wherever the conversation takes us, Monday from 12 to 1 on Live and Local.